Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Appreciate the privilege to come to your place of listening today for the program, for the broadcast. Invite you to church this morning and know where you ought to be, especially if you're a member of a church. You ought to be in the house of God. And if you're not a member, you ought to go there anyway so you can hear the gospel and get saved, or if you're not right with God, to get right with Him. Good place to go this morning. Beautiful day to get out and go to the house of God. We invite you to come to be with us here where we're members at Mountain View Baptist Church here in Tryon. Brother Kevin Norton will preach you the Word of God, and you pray today for the service. And then pray for those that are sick and suffering this morning. We'll remember them in prayer. But get in church today. Get in church. Get in the house of God. Get a band of folk around you that can pray for you and meet the need of your life through the Word of God, and just be in your place this morning in the house of God. 10 o'clock Sunday school, get up and get ready. Be in the house of God for Sunday school. Amen. You ought to go to Sunday school. You say, well, I'm a member of the church, never been to Sunday. You ought to go to Sunday school. It's a part of the church, as so much the more is. I mean, assemble not, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even as so much as at what everybody else is doing, be in the house of God just like they are, and go to church and Sunday school this morning. Good to be saved, and we'll remember these folks in prayer that we have, of course, been requesting prayer for, and those that's on our hearts, those on our prayer list that needs help in prayer this morning. I trust that you'll help us pray for them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray together this morning, and God might meet the need of life. Fathers, we bow your divine presence. God, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for grace and for strength and for help in the times of our need. God, when we bowed before you, when we crawled up to the throne of grace with a broken heart or with a heart that's hurt, I thank you for those times that you have ministered to our needs, and thank you for that throne of grace, Lord, that we could come boldly to. I pray, have your way today, and the services, the Sunday school hour, and the broadcast time this morning, getting ready for church and be in the house of God. Bless your men as they stand to break the bread of life this morning to those that are there in the house of God. Have your will, have your way. Everything that you do, God, for us, we'll give you honor and praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen and amen this morning. Amen. I tell you, you know, somebody prayed for you, and you need to be praying for somebody else. But I thank God for godly parents that prays for their children and get them out of harm's way. I tell you, there's a blessed privilege that they had to pray for those. And that's how you got saved. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody had you on their heart. Somebody was seeking the face of God for you and asking God to convict you and remind you of your need of a Savior. I'm glad God does that. Here's a song I want to share with you today. Out of harm, God, somebody prayed you out of harm's way. And I appreciate this song this morning. You listen now as they sing. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody prayed for you. Thank God for somebody prayed for me. I'm glad God got my heart at 11 years old and convicted me and drawed me to himself. Thank God for those prayers. Amen. I hope you enjoyed that this morning. Amen. All right, have another one now. Hope you'll be a blessing to you.
That shining so brightly for me, that gives me such courage that I wait to see. What hope for my trusting soul ever shall be, God's wonderful good divine. I love thee, oh God, thee, oh precious. Strength almost gone, that makes him determined to keep traveling on. What sweet consolation on heaven's bright door, God's wonderful work divine. But I love thee, oh, love thee, oh, precious, oh, Bible, the light on my pathway to shine. Stand you on some treacherous shore. What compass will point you to heaven's bright goal? The God's wonderful work divine. But I love thee, oh, love me, oh, precious, oh, love me, oh, light on that pathway to shine. But it keeps me so happy, so always so happy, God's wonderful work divine. I love thee, oh, love me, oh, precious, oh, love me, a light on my pathway to shine. But it keeps me so happy, so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful work.
Amen. Appreciate the Bible, don't you? Thank God for the Word of God this morning. All right, we're going to take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians again today and try to continue the thought that God's placed on our heart for the broadcast. And I trust that you will get something from it today. Philippians chapter 1, appreciate the Apostle Paul and his burden and writing to the people of Philippi. And, of course, in that congregation there, as we mentioned last week, there were many folks that knew exactly what he was talking about, and in memories they had of him coming, preaching the Word of God, and then his memories of them as they received the Word of God, and what a joy it was for them to hear and to receive and to be saved by the grace of God. And so it's a mixed bag of feelings that we see here in the book of Philippians. And you can read this first chapter and you can recognize the care and the love that Paul had for those Philippians. And he was writing to them. And of course, during his writing, as the Holy Ghost was leading him to write, I think his memory bank was working full time. He can remember now those folks in that congregation there at Philippi that had gotten saved by the grace of God. Lydia, now we mentioned last week, that seller of purple that received him and then received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And then that Philippian jailer I thank God sitting there with this family, that congregation, the flood of memories that came back to him about the night that he beat the Apostle Paul and Silas and beat him, put him in prison, and how that, that during the night God shook the jail and scared him to death. He knew that most likely that all the prisoners were gone and they'd kill him, put him to death for losing those prisoners. But somehow they were all there by the grace of God. And him and his family that night got saved and got baptized and received the Lord Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. So sitting in that congregation was a bunch of folk that was remembering. And of course, Paul was remembering, of course, what they was talking about there. But let's begin reading here again. In verses 1, we'll just sort of recap one verse because that's as far as we got last week. But Paul and Timotheus are the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, and with the bishops and with the deacons. Now, writing to them, and of course, Paul was writing because of the Spirit of God that was moving upon his heart there in the jailhouse and wanted to write to them and commend them and, of course, encourage them in the Lord. And he was encouraged by remembering what God had done for them in that congregation there many weeks and months before. And so he said that, "Now grace be unto you and peace from him, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So here we find that Paul was telling them, "Grace be unto you and peace unto you." Now grace and peace goes together. They go together. Amen. Grace and peace goes together. You can't experience grace without experiencing peace. Thank God for that. I'm glad God's grace that brought it for by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And of course, with that grace came the peace of God, which keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, and they go together. Thank God. And the blessing of it is that when grace comes along, peace comes all together. And so he said, "Grace be unto you," writing to those folks, and they just remember from God, the source of grace and the source of peace is found in this same verse. And the Bible said, "From God the Father." And from God our Father, inclusive. He was inclusive, included himself along with them. He was convinced in his heart these folks were saved. He said, "Call him our Father, from God our Father." So grace and truth came from the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And so the grace of God was very much a part of this conversation here and the writing of the scriptures. "And grace be unto you from God our Father," including himself with them. Thank God we're at one with each other and that are saved by the grace of God. We're heirs of God and we're all joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, "Grace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He proved himself by the miracles and signs and wonders that he did, and therein confirming where he came from and what he could do. And even they had to admit the world around him, "And no man doeth these miracles except God be with him." And brother, God sent the Lord Jesus. And so Paul was affirming and confirming and the fact that it was from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace and was so real to them and that he could save those precious sinners. And so he said, he writing now to them, and he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." All the memories that Paul had, and that my friend, for those that was there that he was writing to, the church at Philippi, even from the jailhouse. What kept Paul going in the jailhouse? Well, that remembrance of those that had gotten saved by the grace of God that made it worth it all. And, oh, yes, he said it's been worth it all. And they just gave him to go to jail for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it was. And so he remembered them and said, I thank God for you. Amen. I tell you, thank God for you that you've been saved and redeemed by the grace of God. Those he was instrumental in winning to the Lord through the years. Those that have come to church and got saved because you invited them to come and you told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing it was to thank God for those folks. Amen. Thank God for them. Amen. And so there was the congregation that he was remembering. And he said that always in every prayer of mine for you all, I'm making requests with joy. And there was the recognition of the prayer that Paul had for these folks that had gotten saved under his ministry, those that he had prayed for and those that he had preached to, those that, that he had witnessed to about the Savior, and those that he'd seen respond and to get under conviction and get born again by the grace of God. My, what a blessing it was to write to them about the things that they needed to know. He was kind to encourage them, and in so doing, he was also encouraging himself by remembering what God had done and what was worth it. It was worth it all to go to jail to see them get saved by the grace of God. And so Paul said, I thank God. Always, he said, always in every prayer of mine, he prayed for them every time that he prayed. It was almost impossible to do. I began to pray and not remember those that have gotten saved under his ministry and seen their response to the Word of God, their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the joy to see their lives have become changed because of the gospel of the grace of God. Thank God for that. And so he said, always in every prayer, and making requests with joy. Oh, what a joy it was to pray for them. Thank God. Philippi was a great church. It was a great church. Amen. I mean, the doctrine was right. The gospel was right. And the worship was right. And they're just trying to keep themselves in fellowship with each other. And Paul reminding them that I've got joy in remembering what God done for you. And so we can enjoy each other's fellowship. And that's what a church is all about. You come because of the fellowship. And you're fellowshipping with each other and worshiping with each other and witnessing with each other. Amen. And bringing your family in and seeing them get in Sunday school and church and prayer meetings and enjoying the blessings of the grace of God. But I want you to notice some things that Paul mentioned here in this chapter also. This morning, he said, for your fellowship in the gospel. And always said, thank God for your fellowship in the gospel. In the gospel, from the first day until now, their consistency. Amen. We could say their consistency this morning from the first day until now. I thank God for your faithfulness and that your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now listen, you don't have to get away from God. You don't have to get out of church. And you say, well, preacher, you just don't know what happened to you. Listen, you ain't got time to tell me that. I've had things happen to me, things done, and things said about me through the years. And if I wanted to, I could have got out of church. But no, sirree, by the grace of God, and God's grace has always been sufficient to stay in the house of God and to go to the house of worship. Some of you sitting at home this morning ought to be in the house of God, ought to be in Sunday school and church. You're sitting at home this morning and because somebody hurt your feelings, and that somebody didn't do this or didn't do that, or somebody done something in the church and didn't consult you about it. And oh, my friend, listen, if you're in love with Jesus, it wouldn't matter what the color of the carpet is. It wouldn't matter what somebody said about you. It wouldn't matter not one thing if you just go and worship the Lord. And so Paul is remembering these things here, and he began to talk about them. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. now. They were consistent in their fellowship with God. They were consistent in their fellowship with each other. They was consistent in their attendance of the church and their prayer life and their witnessing and being a witness to the grace of God. And they said, but you notice something, you want to say in the next verse here. And he said, being confident. Now, Paul was confident about these people, had been confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He had confidence in what God had done for them and was going to do through them, and their consistency of staying with God. And that he had begun a good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's looking for the day when we were going to get to go home to be with him. He was confident that God had begun that good work in them, that he would perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. I've seen the consistency of folks in the house of God. Consistency day in and day out. From one service to the other, from one year to the other, from one decade to the other, I've rather seen the consistency of the people of God as they live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need in our churches today, consistency. We've got folks sitting at home, they won't go to church at all. Who used to be in the house of God, used to be a blessing to people in the house of God sitting home today. I don't think it's necessary to go to church. Just because maybe some COVID come along and you found out you didn't have to go to church so much, amen. And why? Because you got cold and you got indifferent and you got convinced by the world that you didn't have to go to church and you could just sit at the house and maybe you could just watch it on some convenient thing to watch it by and not have to go to church and they don't even have to pay your tithes. And boy, you're saving a lot of money, aren't you, sitting at the house. Oh no, my friend, God gets it anyway. He gets it one way or the other. You ever give it to him or God gets it one way or the other. Amen. So Paul was saying here that got confidence in you that God, what God began in you, he's going to perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Performance is in that word. And that verse is performance. Perform it, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There'll be something going on in your life for the Lord Jesus in the realms of the church until the day that Jesus comes back and gets the church. He is confident of that. Amen. Why? Because of what God does. God changes hearts and God gives grace and God lets us depend upon him, learn from the Word of God and hear the messages from the Word of God and hear the testimony of the saints of God, see old folks overcome the battles and things in their life that's trying to destroy them and seeing them overcome that. He said, I got confidence that what God started in you, he's going to perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. You're going to last, amen. You're going to win. You're going to make it. We're going to make it till Jesus comes back. I got confidence in my Lord today that what God done in my life, he will perform it until that he comes back and gets me, amen. And that depends upon me also. Yes, sir, it depends upon us that are saved by the grace of God. So Paul was writing to that church in Philippi, I've got confidence in you that you're going to let God perform in you to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we had confidence in that. So that word confidence is found in this verse this morning, my friend. And the word confidence, of course, and that makes a lot of difference. Folks got confidence in you that what God done for you, he will perform it. God had confidence in the Lord. Amen. That's first of all. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have confidence in the Lord. And that he will perform in you and through you to the day of Jesus Christ. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to get out of church, get away from God. You don't have to do that. That's just because the world does it, no sign you have got to do it. Just because a friend of yours does it, no sign that you've got to do it. Just because some kinfolks of yours does it, no sign that you've got to do it. But I tell you, go to the house of God and stand with God. When kinfolks walks away and brother away from the Lord, stay with him, amen. Stay with him. Too many folks follows people in the wrong way. And so Paul was writing to here the church at Philippi, writing to them to tell them that he's got confidence in them, that in what God's going to do through them. And so he's writing to them, and we're going to cover some more maybe later on. But I tell you, the confidence that Paul had because of his God, God will perform it through you to the day of Jesus Christ. You don't have to get out of church. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to get away from God. You can stay right with Him because God has given enough grace and peace in your life that you know that God will help you until the day that Jesus comes back. Get back in your Bible. Get back in your church. Amen. Get back on your knees. Get back in your prayer closet. You quit praying. That's the reason you got cold. You quit going to church. The reason you quit going to church, you quit praying. Amen. And to get back in the house of God, get back on your knees before the Lord and let God help you and keep you faithful to Him till the day that Jesus comes back and gets us. Amen. Amen. I hope that God has helped you some way today. May God bless you is our prayer. Until next time.